Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the old movies, we've all seen the traditional stereotype of going to the soup kitchen. Homeless and hungry men, women, children go to places that offer free food. After they have had a good chance to eat, they may have to sing songs and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Last week, we heard or were presented God's free invitation of the gospel. He has provided everything at his expense, and he invites sinners, you and me, to come to his great dinner. You cannot bring anything, nor do anything, to deserve an invitation. God provides it all by his free grace. Our text this week seems to make an abrupt shift and shows us the cost of following Christ. You receive salvation freely at no expense to you, but once you receive it, you have just committed everything you are and everything you have to Jesus Christ. And you may protest, no, that is a contradiction. How can something be both free and costly at the same time? Let me try and illustrate. For those of you who know Rick Mosley, a member of our church, he teaches people how to fly in planes. Now, consider Brother Rick offers me a free ride in his airplane. He invites me to come along at his expense. In accepting his free offer, I have just committed my life to him. If he flies safely and I am safe, that's great. If he crashes, I die. The instant I say yes to his free offer to go flying, I am totally committed to him. I've entrusted my very life into his hands. Jesus Christ freely offers the water of life to everyone who thirsts. But we need to understand that when we receive his free offer of salvation, we are no longer our own. We have been purchased at a price. Now, verse 25 in our text is key to understanding what follows. It begins with these words. Now, great crowds accompanied him. That is something every pastor would love to have in their congregation. Every ministry desires more followers. Pastors with large congregations get their books published and get offers to speak all over the world because they are successful. We often measure success by numbers. But Jesus was different. Large crowds did not fool him. He knew that many were following him for very selfish or superficial reasons. It was the exciting thing to do. If you went, you or someone you knew may be healed. It was the place to be. But Jesus is not a false recruiter. He wanted to weed out those who followed him for superficial reasons, because when the battle heats up, he knew they would fail or fall away and cause damage to his cause. To believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior requires following him as Lord. Salvation that we receive is the power of God in raising a dead soul to eternal life. We're told in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The new life God imparts on you inevitably results in a new way of life in accord with its nature, namely growth in holiness. The seed of the word will bear fruit unto eternal life. And in our text today, Jesus shares three costs of discipleship. The first one, we must hate our families and ourselves. Verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible tell us that we are to love our families? Doesn't it say no man ever hated his own flesh? Is Jesus being contradictory here? Of course not. But he puts it in terms, these terms, for shock value, to get your attention, to get you to stop and think about the stringent demand that he is making. He means that our allegiance and love for him must be so great that by comparison, our love for our families and even our own lives looks like hatred. Edith Schaeffer, in her book, The Tapestry, shared the following experience of her husband, the late theologian and philosopher, Francis Schaeffer, whose life and books have impacted thousands for Christ, including myself. Francis Schaeffer was raised in a non-Christian home, and after he became a Christian, his father did not want him to go to college, and for sure did not want him to become a minister, which young Francis felt called to be. When the moment finally came where he had to make the decision to go with what he thought God wanted or to submit to his father's wishes, Francis asked in a strained voice, "Pop, give me a few minutes to go down in the cellar and pray." In fear and uncertainty, he went down there and wept tears of sorrow for his father. Then, in an act of desperate and simple faith, he did something that he would never advise anyone else to do, but what he felt was right for him at that time. He prayed, "Oh God, please show me." Then he took out a coin and said, "Heads, I'll go in spite of Dad's desires." He tossed the coin. It was heads. Still weeping, he cried out, "God, be patient with me. If it is tails, this time I'll go." He tossed the coin. It came up tails. The third time he pleaded, "Once more, God, I don't want to make a mistake with Dad upstairs. Please now let it be heads again." It was heads. So he went upstairs and told his dad that he had to go. His dad looked hard at him, then went out to slam the door. But just before the door hit the frame, his voice came through, "I'll pay for the first half year." It was many years later that Francis's dad became a Christian. But Francis thinks it was at that moment that his beginning journey to salvation began. And in effect, Francis declared, "I must follow the Lord." When Jesus says that we must hate even our own lives, again, he means in comparison with our love for him. Normally, when we follow Christ, he lovingly gives us the desires of our hearts. We are told in Psalms 37:4. Or in Psalm 16:11, he floods us with joy and true pleasure. But there are times when it is easy to give in to the immediate gratification of the flesh, and it's hard to obey Christ. The first cost of discipleship was we must hate our families in our lives. The second cost comes in verse 27. We must carry our own cross. "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, the cross was not an implement of irritation or inconvenience. The cross was an implement of slow, torturous death. Jesus is looking at each of us at the process of daily dying, daily killing off selfish desires, and of the willingness to bear reproach for his name. Since our Savior suffered the rejection and agony of the cross, we follow him. We must be prepared for the same treatment. Romans 12 tells us if people revile us for being Christians, we must bless them in return. 1 Peter 4 tells us we should never do anything to provoke persecution. But if we suffer for the sake of righteousness, we must entrust our souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. This is the process we, and I use the collective we, you and I, all go through, in which we must grow. When we fall short, which we often do, we confess it to the Lord and seek to be obedient the next time. We have opportunity. But if we are not involved in the process of carrying our own cross in death to self, we are not on the path of the disciples of Jesus Christ. The first cost was discipleship, was we must hate our families and ourselves. The second cost of the discipleship was we must carry our own cross. The third one this morning, he continues, we must give up all our possessions. After telling the two parables about considering the cost before making a commitment, Jesus concluded in verse 33, so therefore, there's that word therefore, so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Does Jesus mean this, that we must get rid of everything we own and take a vow of poverty to be a Christian? No. Not at all. But Jesus is pointing at the fact that there are two lords and we cannot serve both at the same time. They are mutually exclusive. In Luke 16:13 tells us that you cannot serve God and money. We'll take a closer look at that on Sunday the 18th. But in other words, you cannot add Jesus to your already materialistic lifestyle as a way of rounding out your spiritual needs. To be a Christian means that God purchased you at a price, and you are not your own. 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Jesus uses a third illustration to show the cost of not following him, that of salt that has become tasteless. The salt in Jesus' day contained many other impure substances. If moisture hit the salt, it would evaporate and leave behind these other impure minerals, so that the salt lost its saltiness. It was also worthless for any purposeful use and was thrown away. Jesus is saying that if we are his followers and we don't live as we ought to live, we are useless to God. The words of Jesus in our text are tough and sobering. The word forces us, each of us, to consider, am I willing to daily give all my possessions, my time, my talent to the Lord? As we each listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us, the Holy Spirit that helps us understand and believe the text, it motivates us and gives us power to live in the light of God's truth. We ask the question, is there a relationship that comes ahead of Christ in my life? Is he first? Am I spending time alone with him in his word, in prayer, and in devotion? When I discover that I am disobedient, do I confess and forsake every sin that hinders fellowship with him? Is he the Lord of my plans, my thoughts, and all that I do? Or could I be selfishly clinging to my plans, my way, instead of seeking to please him in all things, beginning with every thought I entertain? Is he the Lord of my finances, my possessions? Am I faithful in managing these things for his purpose? Or could the love of money be choking out the word in my life? Salvation is a free gift from God, but it costs you everything. To follow Christ we, and again I use the collective we, including me, must continue to daily put him above everything else. As Jesus warns us at the end of our text today, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. We close in prayer. Father, we give you thanks for the gifts of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. That gift is free, that he paid the price for our sins. I pray that as the Holy Spirit illuminates your tough and sobering word in our hearts, that it may take root and that you will make your word alive in each of us so that we can go forward keeping you first in all aspects of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.